Welcome, everyone, to the Forum for World Peace with Princess Diana. This is show host Marcia McMahon broadcasting live to you tonight. We have a very special guest, two guests tonight, actually, Michelle Rice Rios Henley and Kevin Henley, and they're going to be presenting a book, a very special book on prophecy of Mother Mary. And the title of the book is A Time of Fire, A Way of Fire. And it's a fabulous book and just full of fascinating prophecy for our very troubled times in which we live. And I'd like to extend a warm welcome to both of these people. Are you there with me?
Yes, we are. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. We're going to, first of all, go into the first part of our program. We're going to go into the Diana message for the week and read that and talk a little bit about that. And it might be interesting also, since your work, Michelle, is from Mother Mary and you have a great deal on the Middle East, to see if there are some corollaries between what I'm getting and what you're getting, you know, and if so, so be it. And if not, that's interesting material too for thought. So I want to give you a little bit of background on this work that I've been doing with Diana. And I am an intuitive clairaudient channel for Princess Diana and Mother Teresa, as well as having served professionally as an art teacher. Diana's message is having an impact on the peace process for Israel and Palestine amongst those diplomats who knew Diana in life. Our authors hail from all over the world and focus on what people can do for world peace in any way, be it large or small. We are both spiritual and political. My book is titled With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, and it is a relevant message for today's world from Princess Diana, Mother Teresa, Jesus, and John Lennon, all who speak on world peace. So, my website, let me mention that, and then, of course, we're going to also highlight Michelle's website and work in just a moment after this message. My website is www.angelfire.com/mb2/Diana Speaks. You can also connect directly to the website when you're on the blog-in service. Just go to the Forum for World Peace, and there are many links and different messages. There's a neat message there also from John Lennon about his new music that's being featured. You were recently listening to Gossamer Wings, which is a song written by Bob Murray, but channeled through from the other side, from George Harrison. Both George and John are featured with new songs from the other side on our show every night on Sunday for the Forum for World Peace. And as if this weren't enough, then we also have not only the great John Lennon, but the great Princess Diana. And then we're going to be bringing through messages from Jesus and Mother Mary through Michelle. So I can't wait for tonight. I know you guys are excited to present
your
great message.
Thank you.
It's going to be great. Now, I'm going to read portions of the message that I have from Princess Diana from yesterday. And it is a very ominous kind of thing that happened on the news recently. This message is titled Princess Diana Speaks on the Bin Laden Threat. And she is speaking here, and we're sort of picking up in the middle of the message. She congratulated Rose Campbell, by the way. If you didn't hear Rose Campbell channeling Princess Diana last week, you want to tune into that archive, because she not only brought through Princess Diana for us, but also the late Martin Luther King. And it was a fabulous show. And Diana is saying here, bravo to you, Rose, and to Andrew. And she's saying, this is my intention to finally have my voices that are in fact speaking my voice united under a banner of protection to infiltrate the mass consciousness and the media with my marvelous plan to help save the Middle East. And this is me speaking, Marcia. We've had some really distressing news, Diana, on that front. The woman from the U.S. being held hostage, and that devil Bin Laden is making new threats against America. Can you say if there is an imminent threat to our security and what that threat might be? Diana, indeed I can, and I have for years, given all I know here on this side. We do see the terrible intentions of the terrorists, and they are multifaceted. We see that they will likely want to strike in the same fashion as their terrible deeds in London, on public transport in some way, As I have repeatedly warned in your fine books, Marcia, for almost 5 years now, we see their dark intentions on international airlines, those which fly in from European ports, and the Middle Eastern ports on, say, lesser-known airlines. Beware, then, of these evildoers in the next 3 or so weeks, for the possibility of a strike are now unfortunately great. I wish to add that had my message through my great messenger, meaning Marcia, been heeded, when she wrote and self-published her fine book some years ago, my diplomatic solutions been put into place, the America you love would not be under such threat from that devil Bin Laden. For my solutions to this one dilemma were in fact heard by the highest office in your land through Marcia's selfless service to others via email. And these solutions are waiting to be played out on your plane of your dimension. The creating of the Palestinian state will largely address the core grievances of the Islamic militant groups, though of course not all of them. And this creation of Palestine were to occur, the chance for future terror will but melt away, but not completely. The core grievance behind the tragic 9/11 events in your country was the situation that had been brewing for some 40 to 50 years in Palestine, and the suffering of the people there. Both Mother Teresa and I feel that the creating of the Palestinian state alongside Israel will give both peace to Israel and peace to the Palestinian people, and that this diplomatic solution has not been heard on your mass media or in your papers in the U.S. So please do not blame my channel for not getting it out. Blame instead those greedy corporate money mongers of the media. They did nothing but harass me in my life as Diana, Princess of Wales, and now in death, in my afterlife endeavor, they ignore me because the mass consciousness has not accepted the idea that there even is an afterlife, and therefore my channel has not been adequately heard. This one message will save America and Britain future terror, and all diplomats as well and all commoners need my voice, for without it the world will then become much darker. Marcia has been my scribe for over 4 years now and has not received any monetary reward whatsoever and has had to form her own publishing for these fine books. The media has ignored her due to the fact that they only look for darkness and sadness, and for other reasons notwithstanding. We hope this next year, then, the media will take an interest in my channels for the truth they all speak. Marcia, Rose, and Andrew will become household words over the next few years. I thank you all for listening to me, Diana, and want to remind you that Marcia's beautiful book is now available in the bookstores by order, and its title is With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts. And I confirm it is by me. My love to all, Princess Diana, Queen of Hearts. So there she is, my friends and listening audience. She's giving us the solution to preventing another terrorist attack, which I think couldn't be more important. But at the same time, unfortunately, this message has not been widely heard, and the book is very rare and scarcely known. So there are many books in the same category as mine, and I feel that A Time of Fire is a very fascinating book of prophecy written by Mother Mary and Jesus, and it is so corollary to the work that I'm doing, and that the Henleys, both Michelle and Kevin, are bringing through this great message. And we want to focus in on some of Our Lady's messages for the evening, and I want to mention their website. To pick up their book, you want to visit www.OurLadyOfLightPublications.com. So welcome again, Kevin and Michelle. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Very good.
Well, I have to say that when I was reading your book, I read it over Christmas, and it is absolutely absorbing and just so revealing about the current times in which we live, and there is so much in there that was so, I want to say, hard to swallow, hard to stomach, because Mother Mary just really kind of lays it out without cutting through anything. She just says it like it is, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Are you coming? Am I coming through clear enough for you? Am I loud enough?
Yes, Kevin, is she okay?
Yes, please? No, I hear you well, Marcia.
Can you turn up maybe your phone a little bit, Michelle?
Okay, hold on just a second here. Okay, let's see. Is that okay?
That's a little better, because I was really having trouble hearing you. Kevin's coming in just fine.
Okay.
So tell us, Michelle, if you would, some emphasize, if you would, some of the more striking messages that you want our audience to connect with.
Okay. Well, the first message, I think that's very, very important as we move forward with all of the messages, is that we must not be fear-based. And I say that because the information in a time of fire, as you said, is it's very intense.
And oh, is it?
It's an extremely intense information. It's an extremely intense book. But there's a solution in the book, the solution at the end of the book, and also the solution that we have to be empowered to be, to not get taken up by fear, to not become, let's say, paranoid by the things that are, by the possibilities and by the things that are happening. And the other thing is to cultivate our hearts. And I say that because the messages have come hand in hand with the intensity, the blood, the horror of situations, but they've come also with the balance of love and support. And so I want to say that, and I want to make that really, really clear, that Mary has come with the intention of us learning to cultivate our hearts while seeing the reality of what's going on in the world and the possibility that sits there collectively. So that's the first thing that I'd like to say. The things that are happening in the Middle East are things that I've known for a long, long time based on the revelations that Mary has given me. And I've been given kind of the, let's say, the outlying theme of what is going to happen and how this is going to play out, how this transformation is going to play out.
Well, according to your book and what Mother Mary says, there's a good possibility of us invading Iran and there being also a nuclear explosion in the Middle East.
Yes.
And Diana has warned me of the very same things.
Yes.
She warned there would possibly be some kind of nuclear thing when we first went into Iraq. In other words, she was seeing nuclear explosions. But remember that the timeline is different for spirit, too. And
that's,
I know,
right,
that, you know, Mary sort of connected a timeline whereby she sort of indicated that when Sodom pulled some kind of a trick in the Middle East, then that was going to be corollary to some attacks in the U.S. and then possibly a nuclear attack. Aren't those all three kind of linked in your book?
Well, you know, they are. It's a funny thing talking about time, because this is one thing. Mary very rarely has given me dates, exact dates and times. She has given some, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll come sometimes and she'll say, you know, this is going to happen soon. And so in my humanness, I translate soon to, you know, next week or tomorrow or perhaps today. And I've learned over a period of time, both Kevin and I have learned over a period of time, to realize that soon to a cosmic being could be a long time.
Yeah, that's true. And now my feeling, too, in working with Diana is that, you know, these warnings that Spirit is giving, it has been said by people greater than I that the greatest prophecy that comes is that which is never fulfilled. And that was said by Princess Diana in some of her messages to me. And I have to say that I feel that we must, on some level, have some free will to try, those of us that are light workers especially, to try to affect this world of dreadful war, violence, earth changes, and such that we're being forced to live through, and that we, you know, even on a personal level, have a choice in that we are all co-creators. And certainly those of us light workers do not want to see a nuclear explosion. And I know Diana has asked me to take these messages to the very top in my country and warn the people that she knew in life who did receive my email about some of these possibilities that could be played out. And I, you know, I did that at her request. And I know that Mother Mary's probably giving these kinds of messages as a warning, don't you think?
Well, Marcia, you're exactly right. The nature of prophecy is not to say what will happen in absolute terms, but to say what is most likely to happen if things don't change.
Right.
And so they are warnings. And as you say, we have free will. And one of the really extraordinary things about the times we're living in is that these situations become very fluid. The prophetic messages come from Mother Mary or Princess Diana and others, but they're telling us, yes, these things may very likely will happen, but we can change them. And one of the things that Mary has constantly reinforced in us is that we're all very powerful beings, and she's trying to awaken us to that power so that we can move through this transition with grace and beauty and light and not have
and
to
love.
Be dragged through kicking and screaming with much tragedy.
But it does seem to me, the overall tone of this book, that there are some, we are about to live through some of the darkest times that we could possibly imagine. And it sort of feels to me like, you know, hold on to your hats, hold on to your seats, folks, because here we go. And, you know, it's just going to be a very bumpy ride, if you will. And that, you know, the one thing I took away from this book is that, yes, we have our love, but the most important thing that we need to keep in mind as light workers is to continue to love and hold others in the light and to spread the light that the message that we have.
That's exactly right.
And you see, I think these messages, unfortunately, are not being heard. I think mine has not been heard, and I'm assuming that yours probably has not been heard to the extent that you would like it to be heard.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
The other thing is, the media seems to ignore these things. When you've got something really good and concrete, okay, the media paid attention to the statue that was, you know, dripping blood, okay? The Mary statue
right.
I'm referring to in Sacramento. And, you know, everyone took it as such a holy sign. They would focus on that, but they wouldn't probably give you an interview or me an interview, you know? And we've got something that's really much more detailed that somebody could really bite into and say, wow, you know, this is really significant, and yet they continue to ignore us. But I guess that all feeds into what Mother Mary revealed in the book about the powers that be and just how dark some of the powers are that are controlling our world.
Exactly.
Now, I thought what she revealed about the players was just a fascinating tidbit, that there are like about 9 or so families that in the world that more or less control everything and are kind of warping things according to their own agendas, sort of like the Illuminati kind of thing. Does she ever mention the Illuminati?
She's never mentioned the Illuminati. The term she uses, which is what the term you mentioned, is the players.
Right.
And these are dark beings. I know some people are not comfortable with that term, dark beings, but what she means by a dark being is a person who's really given themselves over totally to the darkness and is working for the darkness. And these beings are in control of governments and institutions like the media and banking throughout the world. And at some level, they're working in concert. So because she didn't mention the Illuminati doesn't mean they don't exist. Sometimes she will refer implicitly to these organizations. She has mentioned that there is a one-world government already functioning and that it will become more visible as events unfold on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the things that was hard for Michelle Nye to grasp fully, to understand fully, is that some of her statements where she says that we are really not free at all. Even in our country, we're not free. The media controls us. The government controls us. We're conditioned at a very early age to live under veils and veils and veils of illusions. And she's trying to help us to lift those illusions so that we can see the world as it is. And when we do see the world as it is, at one level, it is a stunning kind of stark revelation. But we also have to remember that God is present even in the darkness, even in the even in these revelations of things that are very dark and very disturbing. And one of the reasons the book is so intense and Mary's messages are so intense, Marcia, is because the very reason that that you're mentioning, that the media and people just can't get this. We're at a point that we have very little time left, and it's important for people to wake up, and sometimes you need that intensity to drive the message through. You know, we're well past the 11th hour, and as Princess Diana said in her message that she read earlier, things can happen in our country in a, tomorrow or in a few weeks. And when those things happen, it's going to be a domino effect, and we're going to see great changes coming, and then we're going to look back and say, yes, we were warned, we were told, and most people ignored it.
That's
the tragedy that we hope to avoid, is that if enough people can hear the message and awaken and begin to change, there's no telling how the events may unfold.
This is the reason that Princess Diana is working so hard on the situation in the Middle East, because she has seen a possible solution there diplomatically, and that solution is the Palestinian state. And no one in the diplomatic department, or except for the State Department, is even on that issue, and that is not their top priority, and they do not seem to grasp that that is the direct correlation. And it's like what you say. I'm saying, America, wake up. This is a possible thing that Princess Diana has given, you know, in order to prevent massive loss of life. And I'm reading in this book, Mother Mary saying, don't think twice, America, you will be hit. You're complacent. You're asleep. And in all of these messages that we're all working toward the same goal of saving lives and helping people to awaken to the truth, albeit the truth seems stranger than fiction, does it not, in this book? I mean,
well, that's exactly right.
It's just so hard to take the first time. You know, I have to tell you, I had a personal experience with Mary that was pretty interesting, because I don't, you know, usually get messages from Mother Mary, but I do a lot of prayer and meditation naturally in my work with Diana and Mother Teresa, and I have had messages from Jesus, and I was told when I was reading your book, my mind was just rebelling against this. It was so different from the mass consciousness, you know, because some of the most incredible things are said by Mother Mary, and about some of our world leaders, even including the president, that you just sort of go, whoa. And so, you know, I heard from her, and in my mind's eye, I saw her carrying a rosary, and she said to me, my child, I would not lie to you. And so there it was, confirmation, you know, that, that what she's talking about is the real deal here. But it is. I mean, she says that most of the world will be destroyed with fire. That's where the title of this book comes from, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And when you think about that, I mean, you know, coming back to kind of bring a little bit of balance into the situation, fire is something that transforms. So it allows for new birth. And that's what this whole process is. That's what this whole time is about, is that, you know, yes, all of these things are happening. Wake up, America, and wake up now, because we have a chance to do something about it. But if we don't wake up, well, whether we wake up or we don't wake up, transformation is going to occur.
Well, you know what? I do think transformation is happening, and America is awakening.
Yes.
Awakening.
Yes.
Politically, for sure, and spiritually only somewhat.
You see it in individuals and in small ways, and that's really the best that we can do is every day in the course of our lives to try and love our enemies, to rise to higher ways of thinking and being and creating, and we have to do that as we're recognizing, listen, folks, all hell is breaking loose.
Exactly. That's the real challenge. I can see with all this cataclysm that is to strike our world, even if we weren't hit by the terrorists, let's say the diplomacy was put into action that Diana's recommended and that the diplomats took, and that, you know, they have it as policy that we're supposed to be creating the Palestinian state alongside Israel. Now, if they would just, you know, get off their duff and do that, then I think we'd stand a chance of not being hit. But the way they're playing it out right now, you know, I just, increasing the war effort, and there's suicide bombs over there daily with our men dying, the whole thing is just a shame. And all those innocent Iraqi people killed, you know, And it's not just that that we're facing. We're facing all these earth changes. And Diana had told me, and I think this is an interesting insight, is that the more war there is and the more strife there is and the lack of love contributes actually to these earth changes. Had you kind of gotten the same feeling from Mother Mary?
Yes, absolutely.
So then, go ahead.
Well, the things that we're, the thoughts that we're having, the fear that we're emitting individually and collectively has an impact on the earth. And again, so this, earth changes are going to happen. They're going to happen because we're at the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. And this has happened before and this will happen again. You know, so we're at a point of change, of new birth, and we're going to go, the earth is going to go through labor pains. We're going to go through labor pains and giving birth of something new, one way or the other. Where we have an impact, according to Mary, is to lessen the situation, to lessen the horror. And that, again, takes, you know, the collective consciousness really has to shift. And as you say, you know, the media doesn't want to hear this. I mean, try and talk to Oprah. Hello, she's worried about, you know, who's having an affair with who and losing weight. All right,
yeah,
Oprah,
I mean,
sometimes
there
say,
was
come
a
on.
Time when she would, you know, I was under the impression maybe 10 years ago, and, you know, and I have great respect for Oprah and what she's done with her own personal life, but she has so many advisors around her, and they don't seem to be at all spiritually inclined anymore. She used to carry spirituality in a good way, and she was just kind of getting on the brink where I thought maybe, I think she had some people that were dealing with the Course in Miracles, and I was encouraged by that. And then suddenly all that went, and it's all just back to, yeah, losing weight and, you know, the right diet and the right thing for the right you, the blah, 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 and it's all the me generation still, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
we can't be doing that anymore.
Pardon me?
I said we cannot be doing that anymore.
No, and that's what I love about your work, because it, you know, truly, Michelle, it is so holy. Everything that Mother Mary says is so beautiful and so right on and so of such high integrity. And why can't people like us with the highest of integrity be heard so that we can thusly transform the mass consciousness? Because
well, that's an intentional thing. I mean, this goes back into the work that's in this book, is that it's set up that way. You know, there's, let's say, forces that be, you want to call it the one world government. I mean, some people say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No, it's not a conspiracy theory.
It's not a theory, it's a reality.
This is real. Take
a look.
Isn't
it, though? I mean, when I read your book, I had also, at this time, I think there's a lot going on with Patrick Fitzgerald, who's investigating, you know, that whole thing with the White House and the leak scandal and everything. And the mass consciousness is gradually dawning on the mass consciousness, if it hasn't already. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, didn't like the way the first election came down. But there's a lot of people out there that don't like Bush. I never had that feeling about Bush. But after reading a couple recent books, you know, I mean, the way she describes Bush and everything, I'm not going to quote it because I wouldn't want, you know, any libel. But, you know, she comes right out with it, saying something about a lot of these world leaders being reptilian.
Yes.
Reptilian. What does she mean by reptilian for those that are just tuning in that might not have the faintest idea what I'm referring to?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. Many years ago when she began appearing to me, I was actually at a church. I wasn't at Mass. I was at a Catholic church, and I was there in the afternoon doing some meditation, and she appeared to me, and next to her was this giant lizard, and then she showed this kind of planet with all of these lizards,
mm-hmm.
and she used the term reptilian, which at that time I had absolutely no idea what she was talking about, and she said to me that there were reptilian beings. And, of course, well, at that time I thought, well, you know, maybe she's talking about, like, something symbolic, you know, something snaky kind of
mm-hmm. stuff,
you know. That type of thing. But over a period of time, which she does, she'll give little bits and pieces of information as to not shatter the mind completely all in one jolt, and just gives, you know, a little piece of the puzzle, And over a period of time, I began to realize, no, she was talking about actual beings. She says that this earth is a melting pot of different kinds of beings from all kinds of places. And so that's kind of an interesting concept for me. It was something that, well, it blew my mind because that was not my way of thinking at
Nor
all.
Nor mine. But I have encountered the term reptilian with other light workers, and they were saying, some other people had said to me that some of them were in the royal family, you know, kind of thing. This is not something that I'm saying. This is something someone said to me, and that Princess Diana was not of their liking.
That's
and then
right.
This, Mother Mary indicates that there may be this kind of thing.
That's right. She actually has stated that people in the royal family are reptilian beings and that they
mm-hmm.
Got rid of Diana.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that's a fact, although I don't have all the facts and I don't go into that because she's asked me to stay focused on what people can do for peace. But she has revealed to me that in this next year, there will be some kind of investigation, revelation concerning the murder investigation and her accident that will basically vindicate everything that all of us as channels, and there's more than just myself who channels Diana, obviously. There's about maybe 10 or so people in the world that have heard from her and that have written books, and she has revealed that there will be more out on this. Now, she never, ever says anything against the royal family, and she has never implied that the royal family was in any way involved. So I'm not saying that, but it's interesting that Mother Mary says that there was some foul play with Princess Diana,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, didn't Princess Diana and Mother Mary both appear to you one time during one of your sessions? I read something like that in the book, that Diana came in and Mother Mary gave a comment about Princess Diana. It was just a one or two sentence thing.
Gosh,
maybe you've already covered it.
Right at the moment, I'm drawing a blank, and I apologize for that.
Oh, no
There's
problem.
So much...
No, I just remember you saying that Mother Mary said that a great light had gone out of England with the death
yes.
of Princess
That's
Diana.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
And that
That's
that
correct.
England would bear some kind of punishment for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Diana is a rose, you know.
Just
she's
like
a,
Mary.
She's a grace. And
oh, yeah, she was a great woman and a great compassionate humanitarian. And in my humble opinion, she's up there with the saints. I know she's with Mother Teresa, so where else would she be, you know?
Right.
And I know she's appeared with me one other time with Mother Mary when I was having a session with a lady that does Reiki. She brought in Mother Mary and Princess Diana and Jesus. So I know she works directly with Jesus, too. So she's really up there. And it's not just that she was a celebrity and all that, but that she was, you know, beneath all her troubles and different things that she went through in her life, she had, by the time she reached the end of her life, she had already begun her ascension process. So I think that's why she left at the time she did, in the tragic way that she did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said many times before in different ways, but it's my personal feeling that she was taken out for her work with the landmines and the children that were suffering. And that her connection is the children and her love for children, you know. But Mother Mary watches over the world's children, too.
Oh, yes, she does.
So they have a similar cause. And even though Diana wasn't Catholic, she resonates with, you know, Mother
well,
Teresa.
Being Catholic or... See, that's an interesting thing. Mother Mary is the divine cosmic female aspect of God. And, you know... We get caught up in definitions.
In dogma.
In categorizing.
Yeah.
Mary is far beyond that. If you can just imagine, Mary is just loving light. And
oh, definitely. But, you know, I was raised Catholic, and a lot of people that may be tuning in may have been. And, you know, they have, I guess this Mother Mary message is way beyond the dogma and encompasses a broader
yes.
message that Protestants and New Age and whatever, you know, if you're into the earth goddess religions, whatever, I think anybody could relate to Mother Mary. But, you know, my uncle, I have, you know, different people in my family that send Mother Mary messages, but these messages that they send seem like to me, they strike me as though they're genuine, but they're highly edited, if you will.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because I think Mary has said to me, she comes to people and she speaks the language that they can understand. And you see, that's really something important, because instead of what we do as workers of light is we create our own categories instead of embracing the whole. And the way that I like to look at it is, I like to say, okay, if you're Catholic, be Catholic, embrace it, find the joy and the beauty in it, find the love in it. If you're Buddhist, great, beautiful, do the same thing, and see all of it as a thread, each one a thread of an enormous tapestry, not opposing each other, even if the message is different.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting what Mother Mary had to say about the church. I'm looking at your book. May I read a little bit, or
would you
prefer to read it? I mean, if you have your book, I'm looking at page 215, and I'll let you read it since this is your channeling, your message. The second paragraph, the Catholic Church knows the truth.
215?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let Kevin read this. Hold on just a second.
That's page 215.
The second paragraph, the Catholic Church knows the truth.
Okay. Oh, yes, here it is. The Catholic Church knows the truth. The Church knows who I am. The Church is hiding the truth of the message of Jesus Christ and the truth of all truths. The Church will be destroyed and truth will come back into the Church. I am my love. I am love, and my Church should be teaching love. Love is not a form of control. Love is God. Love is free. Love is alive. Love is peace. Love is all beauty. Love is all encompassing. Love is truth. Love is light. Love is purity. Love is God. Love is not power. Love is not greed. Love is not lust. Love is not deceit. Love is not lies. Love is not darkness. I am love.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what she reveals here about the church is very interesting. She talks about the church basically crumbling, and then you have a vision of John Paul wearing his mitre and his papal robes, and then she sees the Irishman, and then the mitre crumbles and topples. I mean, these are fascinating images, Michelle.
Yes, it's
go ahead, please.
Well, the church is a beautiful institution in many ways, but there was so much darkness woven into it from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she said that is going to have a very adverse effect on the church is that the Vatican right now is holding writings from Jesus. She said those writings were found in the Mideast. They were taken to the Vatican, and they were held there. And in some way, it's going to be revealed that the Vatican has these. And it's going to create even more scandal, because these teachings will show that much of what the church has been teaching is incomplete or in some ways wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she says often, she's very sad about the church, that she says in many ways it has misled her children. And it's one of the institutions that has become corrupted, particularly now with the present pope.
Mm-hmm. I don't get a good vibe on him.
No. No.
I just do not. I mean,
well, he's one of the players.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to be really careful with that.
Yeah. Well, with all due respect and everything, boy. This is powerful stuff from Mother Mary, and I want to say too that right before I tuned into you, it couldn't have been coincidence. I was watching a program on the History Channel about they were exploring the Da Vinci Code and the Cathars and the Knights Templar and, you know, the theory, and of course in the Da Vinci Code, we're not going to get into the Da Vinci Code, but the whole thing with that book that makes it so interesting is the theory of Jesus's possible relationship with Mary Magdalene as possibly his wife and that kind of thing. And, you know, to me, I think all this is coming about for a reason, and it is to awaken the people to the untruths that have been present in the church and to bring them to the light of the truth. And these messages that they're hiding of Jesus's in the church for some 2,000 years, I bet they have something to do with what some of these secret societies that claim to have held the knowledge, like the Cathars and the Knights Templar and some of these others, I just bet that there is some secret knowledge there that they were holding. I kind of can't help but see the parallel right there. What do you think on that?
You know, it's an interesting thing, because our other book, Mary's Way, Romantic Love is a Path to God, is really, really the true story. You see, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married. They were married.
I wondered if that was the truth, because it vibrates with me as truth.
This is the truth, and they had at least one child.
Uh-huh.
But see, the teachings that these beings, Jesus the Christ and Mary Magdalene, Mary the Mother, and a lot of beings during that time period were really, really already enlightened, awakened beings, male and female.
Right.
And one of the things that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were doing was teaching human beings how to make romantic love a path to God, because most people on the planet are in relationship. And you see, if we don't understand what the sexual energy is about spiritually, then we are, in essence, powerless. We're ignorant. And that's really what the hiding so much of all of this was about. Because if a woman is empowered because of her sexuality or her sexual energy, look out. Look out. If a man is empowered with that, look out. And if we're using that in sacredness and holiness as a prayer, we are extremely, we tap into that extreme power so that we can be very, very powerful creators. Instead,
well, now I've got to read your other book and have you come back on.
I
wanted to ask you about this Mary Magdalene, because I got from Jesus, and I have had messages from him too, that he was with Magdalene. And even when I first encountered the idea in the Da Vinci Code, my mind completely rebelled against it, because naturally I was raised Catholic, you know, and it's like, no, 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 no. What is it with them? And everything having to do with sex is a no-no, you know?
Exactly. But do you see, can you put that together? The Da Vinci Code is saying, well, you know, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and there's all these secret societies, and there's all of this stuff that's hidden and it's swirling around, and there's all of this intrigue. But if you take it a step deeper within, you begin to see that this has to do, all of the lies and the deceit and all of that has to do with controlling an individual.
Well, yes, and, you know, when you look at, there's nothing wrong with monasticism inherently,
no.
But monasticism, you know, was a tradition and continues as a tradition in the church, and it's a revered tradition, and it's considered the holiest of ways. But yet, if we were to find out that if Jesus was married and had sex, oh my God, you know,
he did,
and you know, it's and had a daughter. I mean, it is just it's mind-boggling to those of us raised in a very traditional way, even though. You know, I can accept it as a mature woman. I think it's a very, very tantalizing theory, and now I know that it's true, thanks to you, Michelle. I've got to read the other book now, because it puts my mind to rest that all of this was resonating with truth. When I first read the Da Vinci Code, of course, I had to go right to the Leonardo da Vinci. You know, I'm an art historian, and I teach art history at a college, so, you know, I had to go right to that painting and look it up, and there was Jesus in the middle of the Last Supper, and right next to him, that was supposedly St. John, but that is not St. John. That is a woman. That
yes,
is Mary
is.
Magdalene.
Yes, it is.
So Da Vinci was on to something, and I think he was part of this, you know, Priory of Sion and all of that. I mean, you know, it is just, this is the time, I think, where all of the different, you know, suppressions of the Catholic Church are going to come to light. And I'm really curious about those secret documents that Jesus actually wrote.
Yes.
That's what Mother Mary's saying, that Jesus wrote those documents and the Vatican is holding them and hiding them from the public.
Yes.
That's right, Marcia. And she
wow.
said that those documents contain information about sexual energy, the energy centers, light, reincarnation, Jesus taught all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, going back to the theme of Mary Magdalene, Jesus, it wasn't just that they were married and they had a child. It was that in the sacred lovemaking between them, they were able to arise to the highest levels of consciousness that were necessary for Jesus to fulfill his mission. And in that sense, Mary Magdalene was the key. We could go into this much deeper, because there's many aspects of this, but the key
in other words, accept the crucifixion and everything.
Well, exactly.
That's so devastating when you think about them being in love like that.
Well, see, let us take it full circle, is that Jesus and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother and many others back in those times had to go through the darkness of the underworld. And in order to go through the darkness of the underworld, they had to be held in their own power and in their spiritual power, which a part of that is the sexual energy. That's the fuel that heightens us into the sacred heart. And so if you take it full circle today and you say, my God, we are collectively zooming through the underworld. We are burning off the dross. We are going through all kinds of hell, individually, personally, collectively. And in order to do this in the most profound conscious way, we have to have that strain of the sexual energy as our fuel, as our sacred fuel to heighten us into our sacred heart. This takes it a step further than the whole Da Vinci Code. This is saying, come on. You know, whether you're celibate or you're not celibate, that's not really important. What's important is that you're using that energy and you're understanding that energy as something sacred, because you need that fuel to get through the underworld. We all need that fuel to hold the light as we're going through this turmoil. I mean, think about this, you know, if something happens in 2 weeks in New York City in the subway system, which is very likely from a terrorist attack, and then we have Yellowstone explode.
Right.
We are going to be devastated. We're going to be walking around like zombies going, whoa, what just happened?
We need, what you're saying about the sexual energy really relates more to the spiritual side of the sexual energy, as I'm interpreting what you're saying, in that you get to that sense of oneness with God when you experience that with another, your partner.
Yes.
So that sustains you, the knowledge that you really and truly are one, and having had the physical experience or the spiritual experience, if you are a celibate or you are, you know, in any other relationship that is not that way, so that you understand the oneness, because the separation and the torture that may come about our world we're being called upon to transcend it. Is that more or less what you're saying?
That, and also to be able to create. You see, you look at the Bible and you look at these beings who were these persons who were walking around doing amazing things. Well, how is it that they're any different than us? And why are we not creating miracles directly?
Okay. Well, I know, and you know, gets into the new powers that we're going to have once we go through this time.
Well, I don't believe that it's just that we're going to have it. I think that we already have it within us.
But it needs to be awakened for sure.
That's what that sexual energy is that sexual energy is light fuel. It is what makes the rocket of love emit itself through the entire human beingness, so that we can go out and create miracles, so that from my house here, I can sit here and I can say, I am going to blanket that child or that family or that city or that block in Iraq. I'm going to blanket them with loving light and support and protection, because my fuel has risen into my heart and I can create that miracle with the power of my mind now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. And many times if I sent light to the Middle East and elsewhere, even to our country here when needed. Oh, that's our time. Don has a agreed to let me know when the show is needing to wind down.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. We are in the midst of such a fabulous conversation here.
Thank you.
Let me mention your website again, and if there's any parting words that you want to say, and then we're going to play a very special musical piece to conclude our show by John Lennon called The Eternal Opus, which he just wrote, and he's debuting it through the gracious efforts of Bob Murray, who has been channeling in this music. The website again, Michelle, if you would recite that for us and the title.
Okay, it is www.OurLadyOfLightPublications.com.
OurLadyOfLightPublications.com. It's also posted on the blogin site, and my site is www.angelfire.com/mb2/Diana_Small_speaks, and I am also on the blogin site. And the name of her book is A Time of Fire, and her name is Michelle Rios Rice Henley, and it's co-published with her husband, Kevin Henley. It was a pleasure speaking with both of you.
Thank you.
And
thank you. It was a pleasure for us.
Fascinating. Will you come back another time and present your other book?
Of course. You just let us know when.
Well,
thank you so
many
much.
Blessings to you both, and thank you so much for giving us a little light on this world, and thank you to Mother Mary for coming in with her beautiful messages. God bless you both, and we plan to have you back. Many blessings to you.
Thank you, and the
thank
same
you, Marcia.
To you.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.